Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ride at Home with Rich, your first-stop shop for all your home improvement needs. I'm your host, Rich Horace, and today we've got a lot on tap for everybody. We'll be covering all things exterior. Joining the conversation with me is Mosby sales consultant Mark Kissel, and we plan to cover all things outside your home, including windows, doors, siding, roofing, even garage doors. Did you even know that Mosby installs garage doors? So yes, we do. And we can talk about that as well. Plus, as always, stick around for my On the Road with Rich segment and my hack every week. You don't want to miss out on those. If it was the 1970s, I'd say don't touch that dial. But now, I don't know what you do. Don't hit the button. So we've got a lot on tap for you. I'm going to have a real good time with it. And if you, I do have kind of a special announcement. If you didn't listen last week, I actually announced that starting in January of 2024, I'm going to be taking over the KMOX home improvement show that the owner of our company, Scott Mosby, has been performing for about 27, 28 years, something like that. So it's a really cool thing. It's an honor and a privilege to get to do that. And a couple things I would let everybody know. It's a good thing for you guys, the 97.1 listeners, because they will simulcast that second hour of the show of me on 97.1 from the 12 to 1. So you can still tune in and hear me. The advantage is going to be you'll get to call in and actually ask questions again. So hopefully that'll bring a lot of questions in and we'll have a lot of fun with that. I love the call in question answer format. And for everybody on KMOX and all those loyal listeners, Scott Mosby isn't going to completely go away. He'll be filling in for me. He'll be guest hosting sporadic times throughout the year. So you'll probably hear him 8, 10, 12 times throughout the year hosting also. So you'll still get your fill of Scott as we do this too next year. So a lot of fun, great things happening on the radio. And I really love being a part of it and being able to kind of just, you know, get this out to everybody and then have a really good time with it. And speaking of that, we've got a lot of exterior stuff we want to get into here with Mark today. So Mark, this is your first time on the show. I want to thank you for coming on and, you know, welcome you to the show. How you doing today?
Oh, fantastic. It's great to be here. I appreciate you inviting me on. I think we're going to have a great time with this. So
yeah, absolutely, for sure. And, you know, you're definitely one of those people that's a little near and dear to my heart, coming from the field and getting into this like I did, like Justin did, like several of us around here. Mm-hmm. you know, have done. And it's a good thing to have an understanding and all of that. So I don't want to give your whole background away, but that's kind of the first thing anyways. Why don't you just kind of, you know, tell all the listeners a little bit about your background, what brought you to Mosby, and how'd you get into this?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, as you said, of course, I did start getting my hands a little bit dirtier, right, in the field. And it was a lot of fun. I really got interested in home improvement, just like anybody else, right? You watch a lot of HGTV and you catch that DIY bug. And, you know, of course, then after having a few conversations with some people like our president, Mark McClanahan, who's a good friend of mine through racquetball, we got to talking, and next thing I know, you know, there's a career to be had in something like this that I was just having some fun with at home. So it ended up being much more of a career choice for me, and I decided to start in the field. Start at the bottom, get my feet wet that way, and I learned a ton. I had a great opportunity, to be on one of the crews that kind of does a little bit of everything. So one of our design build crews. So I was doing work in bathrooms, kitchens, exteriors, and anything and everything in between. So that was a wonderful educational experience for me. But then come to, you know, to find out, I did get a little bit roped inside the office side of things as a home consultant, but having a good background in the field that first year. But I've been doing this now for about 3 years. So it's been a ton of fun. I love what I do. So
yeah, no, and you know, coming from the field myself, I always kind of looked for that same thing, kind of what you were describing for those field guys, is we kind of did everything, you know, and that was always, I always really enjoyed that myself, just because, you know, I did some home building, things like that, and you know, it was the same thing. I mean, the foreman comes out, he pulls out a plan. He doesn't even open it. He's like, oh, it's this model. And then he throws it back in the truck and we all start building because we've done it, you know, 100 times. And so I always liked that ability to, like, you could do a kitchen this week and a bathroom that week and some siding this week and, you know, different stuff all the way across the board, just to keep that variety going and not just repetitively do the same thing over and over again. I always personally enjoyed that myself.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it there is no monotony. There's a little bit of something you're doing different every single day. And that's what can keep things being fun.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think the same thing, you know, for our positions and for, like, what I do, I don't know that I would want to just, like, sell Pella windows every day and just, it's like, oh, so did you want the double hung or the casement? Did you, you know, and so I love the variety. I love being on a bathroom one day, a kitchen one day, and exteriors the next day. One's quick, figure it out. The next one's design build, could take a couple months. You know, all that kind of stuff is really fun. So let's kind of focus, you know, on this home consultant thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of, you know, explain a little bit about that. So I guess first what I'd ask you is, you know, what do you really love about it? What do you love about the role in doing this in the remodeling industry?
Well, you know, to piggyback off of what you just said, it's always something different. And, you know, if it was one isolated thing that I was always working on, it can certainly get monotonous. And, you know, if it was just windows, but I think it's fair to say you're in the same boat too. There are a lot of projects where we're encountering multiple of these different things. So it's good to have that knowledge base on everything. So, you know, kind of being able to be in a home and meet new people. I mean, the number of stories that I hear in this position, and just seeing what people want to do to their home and be a part of what is supposed to be an exciting process, right? To be, you know, most of the time, right, getting to upgrade their home in some way, make it their own, is a really, really fun position to be in. So I love that aspect of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that is really great. And I love hearing, you know, people's stories. I love, you know, getting off topic a little bit and just hearing about them and different things about them and stuff like that. It is, I have so much interest in that, mm-hmm. that I actually don't mind at all, you know, going through stuff like that. So in the projects that you've been doing, do you have any projects? Do you have a project that you're kind of like most proud of that we've done?
Well, there's one currently that, you know, I think there's a number of things going into this project that makes it my favorite project I've ever worked on. We're nearing the end of construction right now. But this was something where, you know, the conversation started with, I really hate this eyesore of a fireplace in the middle of my in the middle of my rooms. It separates this space and it makes it very choppy and closed off. And there were, you know, a couple of issues alongside with that. But then that led into, well, you know, really what I'd like to do is to do my kitchen. And really what I'd like to do is I kind of would like to open this up a little bit, maybe take out this wall. You know, it was, while we're doing that, we might as well just be doing the flooring. And it crept into just about every room in the home after that point. But this is exactly what this lady would like to have done to her home. And she's thoroughly enjoyed the process so far. She's been extremely communicative, which has also set everything up for success too, right? Making sure that that we know what her needs are makes it so that we can deliver those too. So nearing the end of everything, and it's just really, really fantastic watching everything come along. So
yeah, and you know, another advantage of being at a company that can do everything like that is, you know, when you get into those conversations and people get really comfortable because they're like, wow, I really like the way this is going. I like everything about it, and they can do it all. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we can do, you know, where a lot of, you know, they may have a fireplace guy and they're going, oh yeah, that would be nice to have a new kitchen. Who would you find to do that for you? You know, or the kitchen guy going, yeah, we should probably try and find you a fireplace guy, you know, that can handle that and things. So being able to do all of that. And I'll tell you something I just looked at this morning because I haven't done it in quite a while. And I'll give you a little insight on your future as a Mosby consultant, because this is how good it can actually get of years of doing this. And of course, coming from the field, I have clients that I was their project manager and then I was their consultant. And then so this morning I was actually at a past client's house and we're going to put in 9 windows for them on the front of their home. And so we went through that and we did all that. So when I came back, I thought, wow, I haven't really looked at this in quite a while. We've been so busy and doing stuff. I wonder what percentage really, you know, this year is of all my sales is repeat business. So I started looking back and I went through. So this year to date so far, I've signed 48 construction agreements with clients, 39 of those clients are repeat clients. We have done a project for them before. This is actually the highest I've seen. 81% of what I've done this year is somebody coming back for another job. So what I've tried to tell, you know, other consultants, and like, I'll tell you the same thing, just do it. Just stick with it. Because when all these great things happen down the line and through the field, and they really, you know, were 95% or better success rate and happy and on-time completion, people just love it and they just come back. And they'll come back. Some of these are on their third, fourth, fifth. Some of these we've been for 20 years, we've been doing work for them. So it's a great thing. All you got to do is keep going. And time will just start showing that. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing more and more and more, where you'll get to 20%, 30%, 40%. So it's a really cool thing that Mosby's developed in how we, you know, work and handle this entire company.
Absolutely. You know, and with anything, any aspect of somebody being inside your home, you want to trust them, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that foundation is paramount to like continued years of success with that. So
yeah, no, definitely. Absolutely. It's such a nice thing. And it's great for me because it's like, you're totally going back and seeing old friends and being like, oh, how you doing? How are the kids? You know, I've had people like, oh my gosh, how's your daughter? And I'm like, oh, really? She's 19. Like, oh my gosh. You know, and they were like, they were around when she was being born. You know, and they're like, holy cow, has it been 20 years? I'm like, it has. You know, so it is a really cool kind of interesting thing. And I'm going to jump into my On the Road with Rich segment here real quick before we get into a break. And this could kind of lead us into some exteriors and windows stuff too. because how we look at the house scientifically, the structure, you know, ventilation, water drainage planes, all this. So I had a client that saw a few months ago, and they had a window leak, and they had it fixed by somebody else, and the homeowner didn't think the window needed to be replaced. And so they tried to fix it without really replacing the window. And they kind of focused on that area, you know, so then of course it's leaking sometime later, and I'm out there, and my job is to really explain kind of like where are all the areas that this could be coming from. And they've got a bay window with a roof line right next to it that, you know, doesn't have the kick out flashing. The wall doesn't have Tyvek. The company that tried to fix a leak, Tyvek, like around the window, like literally like a 10 foot by 10 foot area, didn't work out. So I'm explaining gable vent, soffit, fascia, where, you know, capillary action brings this back in, and, you know, really went over the entire job and why the window was failing and needed to be replaced. So there was, you know, so many different steps. It was a real eye opener for the homeowner to be like, holy cow. Well, yeah. So they fixed one thing. They didn't fix the window. They didn't fix the wall, the vents, the, you know, anything coming from here. And if anything comes from higher than 10 feet up, it goes right behind the house wrap and it's right back in the window again, you know, that they did. So addressing that whole problem, wall, everything, you know, is a huge thing that we've been, you know, trained through and focused on and, you know, really being good advisors. So we're going to get into our first break here. But when we come back after my hack, I want to get into kind of like windows. What do we need for them? How do people know when they need them? Why is that flashing thing important? All that. So we'll be right back after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, guys, you heard the man. Time for Rich's Right at Home Hack. And that, you know, it's always brought to you by Holper's Pest Control and Animal Solutions. No matter what unwanted bug, pest, or animal is in your home, contact Holper's today. Remember, just like they did for my home, I had some termites. They were definitely unwanted, and Holper's came out, took care of them. You can call them 314-310-0338 or holperspest.com. So my hack today, I've got something that comes up quite often for us, especially just kind of added on to projects because it happens so often with people that, you know, re-caulking their shower. It's a really common problem, you know, with so much moisture in the bathrooms and everything. And, you know, there's no better area that's going to hold moisture than your shower, especially one used daily by multiple people. So that caulk is going to get some mold on it. The stuff everyone uses, if you read the tubes, it says resistant. So it's only mold resistant. So eventually it'll get that. And so I came across this really easy way from actually one of our guys in the field that was actually doing it. And if you spray the caulk with WD-40, you can let it sit for about 15 to 30 minutes, kind of soak in, scrape that caulk away from each side with a flat razor scraper. And then with anything, you know, any residue left behind, you can spray it again, let it sit there, kind of eat away at that. And that caulk just kind of scrapes and peels right off with ease. No problem whatsoever. So after that, you should clean the surfaces thoroughly with a clean cloth moistened with rubbing alcohol. So that rubbing alcohol is going to dry really, really fast. And you want the surfaces to be completely dry before you apply any new caulk. So they do make some what they call caulk removers out there for you guys. There's like Goo Gone and Crud Cutter, and most of them cost around $10 in the big box store, where I've got a can of WD-40 sitting on my little bench in the garage already, so no need to purchase anything. Strip that stuff right away. I like to keep it easy, simple, and effective for everybody out there. Remember, you can find this hack on my social media, Facebook. Just search Rich Orris Mosby. Take you right to it every week. You can go back and listen to them there. So today, let's get back at this, because I've got Mosby Home Consultant Mark Kissel sitting here with me, having a great time, talking exteriors, talking outside. We kind of got through like our goal, consultants coming out, visiting, what we love about it. Let's talk about some of these exterior things that we actually do. Windows is probably the biggest one. Like I was saying earlier, got 9 windows this morning that, you know, good repeat client. We're going to go put in them. So I guess, Mark, what I'd ask you just to kind of start off for everybody is, you know, how do people really know when it's time to replace their windows?
Well, that's a great question. And some of that will boil down to what kind of window it is. There are some telltale signs, certainly. Is the glass in your window panes, is that compromised in some capacity? You can usually tell with some fogginess that it's just impossible to get away, because that's because it's in between the panes. You know, some of those older windows, like your basement windows, you know, the hoppers, or, you know, whatever might be there. Those typically are, you know, in a lot of homes, old single pane windows. Oh, yeah. And those need to be replaced simply because of what they are. So, yeah. but certainly from an outside perspective, is the weather getting to the wood on the outside in some capacity to where it could be impacting things on the inside? You know, these are all good things to look at. Certainly we want our windows to last a lifetime, but some of that boils down to maintenance, and some of that boils down to some realistic expectations. So,
yeah. And, you know, some of it, definitely the maintenance thing, you know, I've seen before, I've done some hacks about, you know, vinyl windows and things like that. And I've definitely seen a couple clients where, you know, I'm looking at their vinyl windows and that, and I'm going, you know, if you cleaned them up, if you put some silicone spray, if you did some stuff, I feel like they're going to work much, much better. And maybe you don't actually need to replace them. Mm-hmm. You know, it really, and I've had a couple of them like, wow, we did what you said. And man, these windows work great. And I'm like, yeah, just do that like once a year. It'll last really well now, you know, that sort of thing. So being that good advisor to somebody, just, you know, it leaves them room for like their kitchen or their bathroom or you know, other things that they might want instead of need, or, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a really great thing to be able to do that. And kind of talking on that variety and stuff too, you know, with the windows. So what different types of windows do we install?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll install any different, you know, window out there. We see a lot of people with, you know, a good quality vinyl window nowadays. There's a lot of progress has been made on the technology on that to where it can be pretty customizable. And then, of course, you know, you're upgraded your wood clad window that gives a little bit more of an elevated finished look, maybe gives you more visibility with the window panes themselves, a little bit more architectural style that comes along with some of those. So, but, you know, with what types of windows, you know, oh my gosh, there's double hung, there's sliding windows, there's casement and awning windows and hoppers and bay windows, anything and everything. I mean, yeah, if you've seen it on a home, we can put it in.
Yeah. No, it is great. And, you know, it is important, I think, in our role, you know, talking about kind of being that advisor is to, you know, what we get to do is think about the home and like, okay, so where am I? What does the home also deserve? You know, what would be good for that home and kind of be able to offer all those different types and manufacturers that could actually fit and work in any home, any style, anywhere, you know, whatever it is. I'll never forget years ago, we had a window line that a manufacturer brought to us, and it was a wood clad type window, and they were really, you know, building this window to compete with vinyl, to be like, we're a good, most cost-effective wood-clad window on the market. And they were good windows. I mean, the way they were put together, I was like, this really is kind of impressive. I really do like that. And it is a good option, you know, for somebody that does want to upgrade. But for us, you know, we're doing Pella, we're doing Marvin, we're doing Anderson, we're doing, you know, our Provia vinyl, all these different types. So we just got this other window in the mix. And after about 2 years, the manufacturer actually came back and revoked our dealership and wouldn't allow us to sell them anymore because we didn't sell enough of them. They said, well, we need you to sell, you know, 2,000 windows a year or whatever it was. And we were like, well, we did sell 2,000 windows. We just sold 500 Marvin, 500 Pella, 500 Anderson, 500 Provia, you know, and vinyl and all these different ones. And, you know, but it gave us the ability to do the right thing for each home. And I'm like, yeah, we're not that exteriors company pushing a window and being like, no, you're going to want this. You know, well, no, find out what they want. It's great to be able to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And not to push a window, but to offer a solution.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But, you know, talking about those solutions. So like the advantages, is there an advantage to one type of window over another?
You know, I would say that, you know, stylistically, there are certainly some advantages, and being to keep to a certain, you know, if you have a bunch of Pella windows in your home, probably my suggestion is not going to be, I'm going to go ahead and put a Provia, you know, window in the back, right? Like we would like it to be cohesive. From different finishes, you know, stained looks on the inside, if that is something you're trying to get out of, you know, a window being installed, to have that stained finished look on the inside, then obviously a wood clad window is going to offer that best solution. You know, it's just sometimes picking through what features are available with each window, to be able to say, yeah, that's going to seal well, that's going to flash water well, along with the installation. You know, having, if there is an opportunity, having a nailing flange around that window as well to seal the thing up. That's something that you're not going to really see. It's going to get covered up, but it's going to be one of the more integral parts to the success of a window in that installation. So,
yeah, and let's kind of get into that because, you know, talking about that installation and you know, I know how we do it. Explain the differences and kind of like how that installation might be different with the different facades on the exterior of the house.
Well, you know, let's say somebody has a masonry home. There's a good chance we're not going to be removing bricks to get a nailing flange on, right?
I've actually done that to correct issues, but it's not super often.
Right. Not very common.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will, you know, if it's a vinyl siding or any number of other, you know, siding materials like we might get into later of LP or a hardy board or anything like that, we want to make sure that we can really get down to the framing. That's the most important thing if we have the ability to. And then that way we can try and actually seal things up and flash things to prevent anything from coming in, water, air, pests of any kind. Mother Nature sometimes wants to have her way with things. And, you know, so if we were to remove that siding, we get that flange butted up to the home itself. Ideally, we'd like to get that entire window out of there in the first place, not just leave existing components. Because if we were to install a window and just set it inside the old frame of another window, then okay. If there was air leaking, if there was any water coming in, we still don't know if that's been solved. If we were to put a nice new sealed window inside something that's possibly compromised.
Yeah. So being able to do that is great. And, you know, the other part is, what if that window's not, you know, plumb level square, all mm-hmm. that you're trying to fit this window and make it function inside of something that's really not right.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it very, very difficult to do. And one thing I will never forget, you know, early on, kind of starting out doing this consulting and visiting people and stuff, the first real issue I came across where it was a window and brick, and I'm, you know, kind of explaining that whole system, and I remember the client was like, "Yeah, but I got brick," and I'm like, I know," and he's like, all of a sudden I could see it came to him. Oh, so we need to get behind the brick. And I'm like, well, if you never want to look back at this again. Yep. And he's like, oh, wow. Like, that changes things. Like, yes, unfortunately it does. So, you know, we can usually get windows in and get them caulked up real nice in the brick. But when you have a spot that is an issue with driving rain and things happening and, you know, moisture getting through the brick, you just get into these things. And it can be a tough repair, something that we're really, really good at. So, hey, if anybody's looking for any of this out there, you've got these issues, you want windows, anything done, give us a call here at Mosby, 314-909-1800, or call mosby.com. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Right at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, everybody, we're back. Last segment of Right at Home with Rich. I've got Mark Kissel, Mosby Home Consultant, in the studio with me here, going over everything exterior. Man, we've been having a great conversation. We're going to definitely need to do this again. There's no chance we're getting through everything. But but yeah, let's just get into doors, because like the windows, you know, doors are an awesome thing, and front doors and changing the appearance of the house, all that great stuff. So, you know, in people's homes and everything, like, what's the lifespan of a door?
Well, and that part of that's going to play into what type of door is it and how well was that door maintained,
yeah.
Right? You know, I'd say more often than not, if somebody asked me how long should this door last? You know, usually 20 to 30 years is a really good lifespan for a door. But there's plenty that plays into that. You know, yeah. we get phone calls of people that it's been less than 5 years and they're having problems, right? Or it could be this door that's been there for like 50 years, but they maintain it and they do something to it every single year to make sure that it's in good condition.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. Unlike my son's townhouse that he just bought not too long ago, and we were kind of fixing it up, and we haven't replaced the door yet, but we were all standing there looking at the door between like the kitchen and the garage going, what happened to it? Like, you talk about the opposite of maintain your door.
Right.
You know, it was renters, found out moving some of their junk out of the garage. You know, we moved an old refrigerator out to get rid of it, and out came the hockey puck. And we were like, oh, so now we know what the four kids were, probably all boys, and they were, you know, had a hockey game in the garage probably quite often. So, yeah, how you maintain, take care of stuff definitely, you know, helps that quite a bit. So what type of doors, and what do we do here at Mosby to help people with doors?
Oh, sure. We, you know, there's certainly, you know, you see steel doors on the exterior of a home quite often. There are some older wood doors. There's new wood doors that exist that are a wonderful thing as well. But a lot of where we see people migrating to nowadays is more of that fiberglass route.
Yeah.
And you know, just like with other exterior advancements, the technology's come a long way, to be able to achieve a certain look with that, to give it a very realistic, it looks like wood, you know,
it
has a grain like wood, and able to achieve that desired result without maybe nearly as much maintenance as what would be required if you did have to sand something and restain it year after year.
Yep. And you know what? We should do a test, because those fiberglass doors – You know, they're lighter, they're easy to use, they're durable. Mm-hmm. I wonder how they'd hold up to the hockey puck. Maybe it'd bounce off better, not leave as many dents.
Yeah.
We should go with fiberglass next time.
Absolutely. We'll not let everyone know our findings when we get done with that.
Yeah. Do we ever do any, like, full custom stuff? Full, you know, custom wood doors, things like that?
Oh, yeah. There's all the time there, especially when it's a home with some character that's been around for a while. We need to adhere to that to some degree. It would be a bit of a sin at times to go pick up a standard box door and slap it on something where it just doesn't look at home.
You can usually tell when that happens somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, all the time, there are certain openings where it requires a door of a certain size or an installation of a certain caliber to make sure that something gets done right and well. All the time, we get into the – we have a little bit more of a statement piece entry, and we need to design something that's going to be a little bit more unique. And so we get on that. We get the team involved and we're able to produce. So
And you know, one of my favorites, that false double door. You know, if you dealt with many of those, and I'd ask you, what do homeowners do with that when you've got, like, you know, it's a single door from the outside, it's a double door from the inside.
Is
that something Mosby can handle?
Oh, sure. Some of it's personal preference and what they want to do with that, and what is next to that door in some capacity. You know, can we convert that into something where they are French doors or a single door with side lights, or how can we better it more efficiently use that space? Sometimes people want a little bit wider 36-inch door to be in place, and some of those doorways might be sitting closer to 32 or so. So being able to expand that, put something with side lights in there if we have the ability to do so, or sprucing things up, and, you know, whether that's the inside or the outside, to make it look like it's always meant to have been there is really the goal.
Yeah, and so. I've seen it where it gets into a really bigger job, because if you've got the double door on the outside and a single door on the inside, a lot of times they'll have that hallway wall.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, well, what, you know, and a lot of people don't realize. They're like, oh, so that wall's kind of in the way. So how do I, you know, and we end up, you know, getting into some design build and kind of move walls around, make openings bigger, whatever, to really make that just a much nicer door for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and chances are on the outside, right where that wall also comes in, there's probably brick, right? It's not a piece of vinyl siding usually. It's in the way. So.
Yeah, exactly. So other doors, garage doors, let's touch on that for everybody. So what sort of, like, kind of styles and trends have you been seeing since we've been putting in garage doors?
Oh, well, I think one thing in particular is we've seen people being able to have a lot more of a statement made with the garage door as opposed to what we've seen in the past, right? Your standard raised panel, white, you know, steel or aluminum garage door, right?
Yeah.
That's what we see on a lot of homes all over the place. And we've seen people
house.
Right, yeah. seen people take that turn and be able to, you know, make more of a statement similar to the front door with that garage door. And, you know, it does make sense too, because, you know, when people do want that door to look a certain way, it takes up far more square footage than your front door does. Having something that maybe gives a little bit more of a pop, or have a, you know, that wood grain look to it as well, you know, add some character to things. Certainly seeing people kind of go that direction.
Yeah, no, it is really cool. There's just so many different styles and things today out there that people can choose from. I absolutely love it, you know. So what should people kind of know about their garage door openers?
Certainly one thing to keep in mind is going to be just the age of it. You know, there's going to be some openers that have been in place for, let's say, 30 years, right? Things that can be done nowadays where you can have your opener sync to your phone, which is a great way to make sure that, you know, essentially you're keeping your home secure if you're not there, like to check on if your garage door got closed. Right? Everyone's done it, right? Did I shut that?
Oh yeah, it's that oh moment when you're like, did I close? You're halfway to work. Did I close my garage door?
Yeah, or you're like halfway to Florida on vacation when people have done that too, right? So between that and they, of course with the newer opener models, they also have different mechanisms, different drives to make it a lot quieter, to make it work a lot more efficiently, and sometimes depending on if you're wanting to try and make good use of maybe some headroom and not have that opener hanging down into that space above your vehicle. They do also have openers that mount to that wall, called a jack shaft opener, that are really cool. So there's lots of different options that are used in different applications, different situations to best suit any need on the garage door. So
I love the belt drive sound, quiet, you know, a lot of those houses out there that have the room over the garage.
Yes.
That should be in every house like that for sure, you know, without a doubt. Well, let's touch on siding here real quick. We only got a couple minutes left, but let's talk about kind of vinyl versus Hardy versus LP Smart Side. That, you know, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages, and what do you kind of prefer?
Sure. Well, I'll kind of name basically four different types of siding that I typically see people gravitating toward, one of which being kind of like your standard vinyl siding.
Yeah.
Of course, then the next, we'll call it step up, not only in price, but in some features, would then be an insulated vinyl siding, which then is a little bit more rigid as a result, so a little bit more durable on that front, adding a little bit of R value to the home. And then kind of from there, of course, as we kind of go up in quality, is kind of your fiber cement board. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about a Hardy board kind of siding. That's that kind of stuff. And then, you know, from there as well, that LP Smart Side you mentioned.
Love it.
Personally, my favorite. I think there's a lot of pros, not only from the finished product standpoint, but also, you know, to consider our guys and the installation of things. It's a lot easier to manage with those. The boards themselves, the siding itself is lighter weight than a fiber cement board. Yeah. In addition to just, you know, it's a little bit more hazardous to breathe in that fiber cement board when you're cutting that. So eliminating that by having more of a wood engineered kind of siding that we'd find in the LP. So
yeah, no, and it's important. You know, I talk about that installation stuff all the time on, like, you know, talk to your plumber about the water heater that he prefers and why. And, you know, because they'll go to stuff that works really well for them, you know, and has good advantages and everything. And that LP is, you know, it cuts and works like wood. The way it's treated is phenomenal. I definitely advise anybody to look it up and check it out. And it's definitely more like wood, so it's not stiff like that pre-finished paint on that stiff concrete board, you know, bending around as you're trying to install it. It just takes more to handle it, to do everything with it. So I do love that LP. You know, it is a really, really great thing. So we are just about out of time. I do want to remind everybody real quick, any of the stuff we talked about, hey, give us a call here at Mosby, 314-909-1800. Love to help you out, or call mosby.com. So, Mark, loved having you on. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rich. It was a pleasure being here.
No problem. And we'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, everybody, we're back. Last segment of Ride at Home with Rich. I've got Mark Kissel, Mosby Home Consultant, in the studio with me here, going over everything exterior. Man, we've been having a great conversation. We're going to definitely need to do this again. There's no chance we're getting through everything. But, but yeah, let's just get into doors, because like the windows, you know, doors are an awesome thing, and front doors and changing the appearance of the house, all that great stuff. So, you know, in people's homes and everything, like, what's the lifespan of a door?
Well, and that part of that's going to play into what type of door is it and how well was that door maintained, right? You know, I'd say more often than not, if somebody asked me how long should this door last, you know, usually 20 to 30 years is a really good lifespan for a door. But there's plenty that plays into that. You know, yeah. we get phone calls of people that it's been less than 5 years and they're having problems, right? Or it could be this door that's been there for like 50 years, but they maintain it and they do something to it every single year to make sure that it's in good condition.
Yep. Unlike my son's townhouse that he just bought not too long ago, and we were kind of fixing it up, and we haven't replaced the door yet. But we were all standing there looking at the door between like the kitchen and the garage going, what happened to it? Like, you talk about the opposite of maintain your door. Right. You know, it was renters found out moving some of their junk out of the garage. You know, we moved an old refrigerator out to get rid of it, and out came the hockey puck. And we were like, oh, so now we know what the four kids were, probably all boys, and they were, you know, had a hockey game in the garage probably quite often. So yeah, how you maintain, take care of stuff definitely, you know, helps that quite a bit. So what type of doors and what do we do here at Mosby to help people with doors?
Oh, sure. We, you know, there's certainly, you know, you see steel doors on the exterior of a home quite often. There are some older wood doors. There's new wood doors that exist that are a wonderful thing as well. But a lot of where we see people migrating to nowadays is more of that fiberglass route.
Yeah.
And you know, just like with other exterior advancements, the technology's come a long way, to be able to achieve a certain look with that, to give it a very realistic, it looks like wood, you know, it has a grain like wood, and able to achieve that desired result without maybe nearly as much maintenance as what would be required if you did have to sand something and restain it year after year.
Yep. And you know what? We should do a test, because those fiberglass doors, you know, they're lighter, they're easy to use, they're durable. Mm-hmm. I wonder how they'd hold up to the hockey puck. Maybe it'd bounce off better, not leave as many dents.
Yeah.
We should go with fiberglass next time.
Absolutely. We'll let everyone know our findings when we get done with that.
Yeah. Do we ever do any like full custom stuff, full, you know, custom wood doors, things like that?
Oh, yeah. There's all the time there, especially when it's a home with some character that's been around for a while. We need to adhere to that to some degree. It would be a bit of a sin at times to go pick up a standard box door and slap it on something where it just doesn't. That doesn't look at home.
You can usually tell when that happens somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, all the time, there are certain openings where it requires a door of a certain size or an installation of a certain caliber to make sure that something gets done right and well. All the time, we get into the – we have a little bit more of a statement piece entry, and we need to design something that's going to be a little bit more unique. And so we get on that, we get the team involved, and we're able to produce. So
And you know, one of my favorites, that false double door. You know, if you dealt with many of those, and I'd ask you, what do homeowners do with that when you've got, like, you know, it's a single door from the outside, it's a double door from the inside.
Is
that something Mosby can handle?
Oh, sure. Some of it's personal preference and what they want to do with that, and what is next to that door in some capacity. You know, can we convert that into something where they are French doors or a single door with side lights, or how can we better it more efficiently use that space? Sometimes people want a little bit wider 36-inch door to be in place, and some of those doorways might be sitting closer to 32 or so. So being able to expand that, put something with side lights in there if we have the ability to do so, or sprucing things up, and you know, whether that's the inside or the outside, to make it look like it's always meant to have been there is really the goal.
Yeah, and so. I've seen it where it gets into a really bigger job, because if you've got the double door on the outside and a single door on the inside, a lot of times they'll have that hallway wall.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, well, what, you know, and a lot of people don't realize. They're like, oh, so that wall's kind of in the way. So how do I, you know, and we end up, you know, getting into some design build and kind of move walls around, make openings bigger, whatever, to really make that just a much nicer door for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and chances are on the outside, right where that wall also comes in, there's probably brick, right? It's not a piece of vinyl siding usually. It's in the way.
So. Yeah, exactly. So other doors, garage doors, let's touch on that for everybody. So what sort of like kind of styles and trends have you been seeing since we've been putting in garage doors?
Well, I think one thing in particular is we've seen people being able to have a lot more of a statement made with the garage door as opposed to what we've seen in the past, right? Your standard raised panel, white, you know, steel or aluminum garage door, right?
Yeah.
That's what we see on a lot of homes all over the place. And we've seen people
take my house.
Right, yeah. seen people take that turn and be able to, you know, make more of a statement similar to the front door with that garage door. And, you know, it does make sense too because, you know, when people do want that door to look a certain way, it takes up far more square footage than your front door does. Having something that maybe gives a little bit more of a pop or have a, you know, that wood grain look to it as well, you know, add some character to things. Certainly seeing people kind of go that direction.
Yeah, no, it is really cool. There's just so many different styles and things today out there that people can choose from. I absolutely love it, you know. So what should people kind of know about their garage door openers?
Certainly one thing to keep in mind is going to be just the age of it. You know, there's going to be some openers that have been in place for, let's say, 30 years, right? Things that can be done nowadays where you can have your opener sync to your phone, which is a great way to make sure that, you know, essentially you're keeping your home secure if you're not there, like to check on if your garage door got closed. Right? Everyone's done it, right? Did I shut that?
Oh, yeah. It's that oh moment when you're like, did I close? You're halfway to work. Did I close my garage door?
Yeah. Or you're like halfway to Florida on vacation when people have done that too, right? So between that and, they, of course, with the newer opener models, they also have different mechanisms, different drives to make it a lot quieter, to make it work a lot more efficiently. And sometimes, depending on if you're wanting to try and make good use of maybe some headroom and not have that opener hanging down into that space above your vehicle. They do also have openers that mount to that wall, called a jack shaft opener, that are really cool. So there's lots of different options that are used in different applications, different situations to best suit any need on the garage door. So,
yeah, I love the belt drive sound, quiet, you know, a lot of those houses out there that have the room over the garage.
Yes.
That should be in every house like that for sure, you know, without a doubt. Well, let's touch on siding here real quick. We only got a couple minutes left, but let's talk about kind of vinyl versus Hardy versus LP smart side that, you know, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages and what do you kind of prefer?
Sure. Well, I'll kind of name basically four different types of siding that I typically see people gravitating toward, one of which being kind of like your standard vinyl siding.
Yeah.
Of course, then the next, we'll call it step up, not only in price, but in some features, would then be an insulated vinyl siding, which then is a little bit more rigid as a result, so a little bit more durable on that front, adding a little bit of R value to the home. And then kind of from there, of course, as we kind of go up in quality, is kind of your fiber cement board. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about a Hardy board kind of siding. That's that kind of stuff. And then, it, you know, from there as well, that LP smart side you mentioned.
Love
personally,
it.
My favorite. I think there's a lot of pros, not only from the finished product standpoint, but also, you know, to consider our guys and the installation of things. It's a lot easier to manage with those. The boards themselves, the siding itself is lighter weight than a fiber cement board.
Yeah.
In addition to just, you know, it's a little bit more hazardous to breathe in that fiber cement board when you're cutting that. So eliminating that by having more of a wood engineered kind of siding that we'd find in the LP. So.
Yeah, no, and it's important. You know, I talk about that installation stuff all the time on, like, you know, talk to your plumber about the water heater that he prefers and why. And, you know, because they'll go to stuff that works really well for them, you know, and has good advantages and everything. And that LP is, you know, it cuts and works like wood. The way it's treated is phenomenal. I definitely advise anybody to look it up and check it out. And it's definitely more like wood, so it's not stiff like that pre-finished paint on that stiff concrete board, you know, bending around as you're trying to install it. It just takes more to handle it, to do everything with it. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. Yeah, I do love that LP. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a really, really great thing. So we are just about out of time. I do want to remind everybody real quick, any of the stuff we talked about, hey, give us a call here at Mosby, 314-909-1800. Love to help you out, or call Mosby.com. So, Mark, loved having you on. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rich. It was a pleasure being here.
No problem, and we'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.